It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 306 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week, I get to talk with Jonathan Lewis. His first time on the podcast, and he represents something of a first for me as well, which we get into during our discussion. He's the driving force behind Penumbra, an excellent comic with a strong female lead. Of course, you know I love that. From Shades of Vengeance, which is normally a video game place, but he does comics for them. Another subject we get into. We talk about his Kickstarter, which is just completed, and successfully so, as well as the characters in the book, and what kinds of things we can expect from the comic in the future, as well as how you can access Penumbra. There's a lot to get to, so let's get on with the show.
You think you can stop me? You think you can hold me? You can't even find me. The shadows are at my command. But I can find you, and I can find you anything you want. I am Penumbra, hero for hire, inspirer of vigilantes, and player of softball. I am finally getting my due here, after too long spent in the shadows. My very own comic. I know, it's a bit of a fourth wall break to talk about it. But then it is my comic after all. And if we meet our goal, it can be yours too.
It's great to welcome to the podcast Jonathan Lewis, the creator of Penumbra, which is a really great little comic series from Shades of Vengeance, which I want to get into all this stuff and who this all is. How's it going, Jonathan?
Oh, going excellent, Wayne. So awesome to be on your podcast. I've been listening to you for years, and it was really great to finally actually get to talk to you.
Well, good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. You're the first person ever told me they've listened to me for years, so that's a great place to be. So let's get started with, I like to ask, how did you get into comics? Have you always been a comics reader?
Since I was a little kid, my dad introduced me to Spider-Man way back when, and I was a nerdy kid, so, you know, Spider-Man, of course, kind of really spoke to me of, look, the nerdy kid can be the hero. Mm-hmm. And from there, I got into writing comics. And what really kind of kicked off me actually doing it professionally was I kept running into amazing artists who couldn't tell a story for nothing but wanted their own comic. Mm-hmm. And so I started, like, selling my... hey, I'll read through your script and, you know, give you some suggestions for different people. And along the way, I also picked up a degree in English composition, among a couple other degrees I actually have. And just from there, it has spawned into I write comics professionally for different companies. Shades of Vengeance being the biggest one.
Okay, great. Now, of course, that's a perfect segue into what is Shades of Vengeance? Because your title is what, your comics editor or something? What's your role with, first of all, and then we'll get into what the Shades of Vengeance really is.
Well, my role is one of those things of whatever the company needs of me today. I started with them about 5 years ago. The guy was Ed Jowett, who's the owner of the company. He was really just trying to make a tabletop role-playing game. And guy is a games master, like, knows how to build a rule set unlike anything else, but couldn't tell a story to save his life back then. I'm not throwing shade at him for saying that. Like, that was his opening line in the job ad that I answered. And so I sat down with him. I go, okay, you know, tell me about this game property that you're trying to create. And he goes through it. And the basic pitch was 500 years of history. And I have it all written down. It just, everyone falls asleep around the first or second page. And so I looked at it. I'm like, no kidding. No one, everyone falls asleep. You wrote this like it was a history book. And And he said, well, yeah, you know, 500 years of history. And I pitched back to him a couple different ways of how to tell a story, especially when you're dealing with 500 years of history, is, okay, how about this section is a page from somebody's diary that was recovered after this devastating event that you have listed on this page. Mm-hmm. So you have to abstract what really happened based on the diary entries. Mm-hmm. How about this is a transcript from a news report that was happening. So you can understand, okay, this is slanted a completely different way. And everything's like that. Some parts of it are speeches that somebody wrote down. Some parts of it are a classroom, somebody's notes that somebody was taking in a classroom 100 years after the event. Mm-hmm. And people have come up to us, you know, years later now, going, I've never read a book like that.
That's funny. And I have to tell you a quick story, because I was in a part of a Star Trek club, and we, for a while, we wanted to write our adventures, and one of the guys wrote a story. It was called 7 Days. The name of the club was the USS Chesapeake, and it was called 7 Days on the Chesapeake, and literally, it felt like 7 days on the Chesapeake. I would read a page or two, and then I'd have to nap, and then I'd wake up and try to read another page or two, and then I just couldn't make it through. I never actually finished that story. It was just too hard, but this kind of sounds like what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. It was an experience and a half, and from there, they've just kept me on as a writer.
Great. See, this is where I can't make that leap, and I always tell people this, is that I can think of things, and I can tell you when something is good, but I cannot come up with the jumps to get there. You know, you can think up the ways to resolve situations. I can tell you if I think it's good or not, but I cannot come up with those concepts. You know, what's Batman going to do when he gets to this point? You know, and do that kind of stuff. I can't make that leap, but obviously you can.
I could teach you a few easy tricks if you ever wanted to hear any.
Okay. We'll do that sometime and get that, because I always ask people, and I always say that's the difference between you as a writer and me as a reader. As a reader, I can tell you I like that, and I can write reviews, which I do, but as a writer, getting there is not something I can do very well. So anyway, that's something, what talent you've got, that's really great. So, okay, Shades of Vengeance is a video game, and you kind of came on as a writer to do that stuff. Now, your role in there is the comics director, or what is it you're doing there?
They're a tabletop role-playing game, so Dungeons & Dragons, stuff kind of like that. Mm-hmm. And in expanding the universe, at some point, Ed turned to me and said, okay, John, you had that original great idea, and I've kept you as a writer for a few years now. What other ways could we tell stories? Mm-hmm. And we have everything now from different podcasts that do, like, live plays of the game, mm-hmm. to we have a podcast that is kind of like Night Vale, if you've ever listened to Night Vale. Mm-hmm. Welcome to Night Vale. Called Radio Free Tyrannus, that it's entirely from the point of view of this DJ who wants to free his planet. Mm-hmm. And so he's got this very, whichever wing it is, rants that he goes on about what's going on today on his planet. Mm-hmm. And so I sat down and said, well, what I'm really good at, you know, what I've been doing for years is writing comics. Mm-hmm. And he goes, that's good, but I'm not going to sit there and pay you just to write comic after comic. I go, okay, well, give me a bunch of writers and I'll edit all their stuff to make sure that it all has a similar enough voice, but always tells the story that the writer wants to tell. And we can have this whole universe all in comics. And I think we're on our 7th or 8th comic we're about to release.
Oh, really? Wow. I didn't know that. That's got a lot of good comics. Now, I've got to ask, of course, how do you find these people? How do you get, do people, you know, come to you and say, I've got a comic I want you to produce, or a comic I want you to print? Or, well, that's another question, is do you get them to Comixology? Do you send them to Diamond to appear in the preview so they can go in local stores? How do you make these available?
The publisher themselves is out of England, so we don't actually get to deal with Diamond that often. Mm. Our first two comics, let's see, Last Stand of Stiletto Unit and Counting Down from One, which I think will probably go down as one of my favorite comic titles of all time. Are both available on Comixology. Penumbra, Lacuna, the other ones that we've made since will be going up on Comixology soon. Heck, by the time you have the podcast out, they might already be up, depending on how fast the review policy is with Comixology right now. The rest are available on our store. ShadesOfVengeance.com/store has our comics.
Cool. So you're based in the U.S., though, even though the Shades of Vengeance is in the U.K.?
Yep. We just hire... that was one of the things I really pushed for with Ed, is get the best talent. These days, you don't need to sit in a room with each other to be a writer or be an artist. We have a lot of artists out of South America. We have a lot of artists... we got two guys out of Japan that we use. Many, many in the EU.
Cool. Well, it sounds like that, because I always have to fill in people, because I'm an editor on an indie comic, which has actually been picked up by Scout Comics, called Stabbity Bunny. The writer is in Florida. The artist is on the top of a mountain in North Carolina. And the colorist is over in the Philippines.
Yep.
And we have none of the people in the States have ever been able to be in the same room with the lady in the Philippines. But it's interesting, you know, because everybody kind of assumes, well, you work together, you must all have met face-to-face. And as probably is the case with you guys, that doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, I think I have met everyone on the team except our artists. A lot of our artists are freelance, and a lot of them are from just countries on the other side of the planet. So,
Wow. That's pretty cool. So, Penumbra, is this your idea? Is this somebody else's idea? And of course, we've got to get into who she is and all this. But first off, where did the idea come from?
He was... we'd finished Era of the Consortium. Which was the first game put out by Shades of Vengeance. Originally, it was going to be the only game. And I talked him into, you know, we skinned our knees. We've earned our scars. We've learned who to have, who not to have, where the sinkholes are for money. Why don't we keep releasing games? And I think the first game that we spent, I mean, it was a ridiculous amount of money that Ed said he spent. And then the second game we made for a tenth of that. And then every game since has been a little bit less and a little bit less and a little bit less. But because our name has gotten bigger each time, we've made more and more and more off of each game. Anyway, well, at some point, Ed said to me, okay, John, you write comics. Do you want to do like a comic book style universe using the rule set that we've already built? And I said, yeah, sure. And he and I pitched ideas back to each other two or three times until we came up with Era the Empowered, which is the universe, the Penumbra, and then Lacuna, and oh, what was the other one? Violet, that has just come out, are all set in. And it's a universe where some strange event happens. It hasn't been explained yet in the comics. That roughly 10% of the population all of a sudden has special powers. And they have semi-realized that this happens on Earth roughly every 100 years. And then right at the end of that generation, something happens that wipes out all the superpowers. There's nobody around from the previous generation. You know, there's no elder Batman running around with Nightwing. You have Batman and Robin, and then the next generation is, there might be someone who has that power set, but Bruce Wayne might walk around, but he doesn't remember being Batman, and he doesn't have any powers.
Interesting. So where did Penumbra come out of all this?
Well, I wanted a character that was kind of above and beyond. At that point, I was writing different stories where the end of every story is, and they all died at the end. And I go, I want a character that can beat any amount of odds you throw at them. You know, I wanted kind of an Indiana Jones, Han Solo style character. And Ed goes, yeah, but that's boring. If we wanted to do that, we just write one of those comics. And so I pitched him an idea of a lady from the Philippines that her power is shadow manipulation. And she has honed it to such a point that she can, like, reach into a shadow and pull out a baseball bat made of shadows that's solid enough she can hit somebody over the head with it.
Interesting, Chris. And why Penumbra? Why that name?
It was semi-based on a character that he had created called Umbra, who was a white guy, for one of the play tests of the game itself when it was still just a game. And I kind of like that idea, Umbra. And I expanded it out to Penumbra and gave her all, you know, an actual background, an actual story of why she is the way she is. Instead of running around being a superhero, she steals stuff for the highest, you know, whoever is paying for it today. But as she does it, she also inspires other heroes or even other villains to be better than they are, if only just to keep up with her.
Now, right now we got to give you congratulations because you've got a Kickstarter that you were just telling me before we started to record has been successfully funded. So congratulations on that.
Yes, thank you. I'm so happy about that.
And this is on a Penumbra, this book. This is the second book, right, of Penumbra?
Yes, the first one was a nice short story, basically just kind of told for the fun of it. Like I said, it was more a story told so I could have a joke on every page so that everybody makes it to the end. And I just had so much fun with her that when we got to the end of that Kickstarter, I had people immediately emailing me going, well, when's your next one? The only bad thing about the comic was that it ended and there wasn't a part two. So I sat down and created a part two, and that's what's fully funded today.
Cool. Well, how about that? So that's great. Now, I got to see the 12-page initial comic, and there was several things I really liked about it. Now, you did the script on this, right?
Yep. I was one of two writers that worked on it, and then I was the editor for it, of course, being the editor for the comics.
Right. So, and the I'm sure I'm going to mispronounce, Chuck Yeso is the art, does art and some of the lettering. You do lettering, too, according to this.
Yes. I do word balloons a bit differently than most people, just because I learned from different artists by emailing them going, I don't like the word balloons on this. Can somebody teach me how to do word balloons? And five different people would email me back that I've worked for that they now work for DC and Image. And so I ended up with this weird style that doesn't look like anybody else's. And so, yeah, I end up doing like a lot of the lettering that's in the comics now, too.
Well, it's interesting because when they're reflective and thinking to themselves, it's not in a word balloon, really. It's got like a letters with a white outline around the text.
Yep.
Which I like. That's something different, so because you don't see that. Now, I also really like the color. The choice of colors was really good in this book. There's lots of bright, different colors. Because, you know, in most comics, there's a very limited palette. But in this one, there's a lot of variety in the choice of colors. When there's thooms going on and booms and stuff like that, they change quite drastically from, say, page to page. And I liked that real well. I thought that was something a little different. I'd like to see more of this kind of color in comics. So I think that was a great choice.
Oh, yeah. I love the way this popped on the page. I owe a lot of the props to that, to the artist that did it. That was entirely his choices. It came out of an email I sent to him of, you know, I really like this, but I want something that'll guarantee they turn the page, and having it be a little bit different as the story goes. You know, only being a 12-page comic, there wasn't really a mood to follow, but I kind of wanted the sound effects to match the mood. And instead, he just did something amazing on every page, and it didn't necessarily follow what it had existed before.
Which is great. And of course, I have to ask you about, because this is a big thing for me, is female leads in comics. I am so huge on that. And so one of the things I really love is when I read this was the fact that you've got a strong female lead who's in there. She's got a male kind of buddy who helps her along the way and kind of gives her missions to go on and stuff like that. But she's the one who does a lot of the action, and you know, she's the one that wears the costume and things like that. So I've got to know, is, you know, you built off of a male and made her a female. What prompted you to make that change?
A big part of it was I'm a single father, and I wanted something that would inspire my daughter to reach out and, you know, show her that she doesn't really have to play second banana to whoever someone else tells her is the lead. She can be the lead if she wants to. And you know, we were doing so much dark and gritty sci-fi at the time that I wanted a character. Penumbra's tendency to crack jokes, like almost all the time, comes entirely from my daughter. She's only 6 years old, but occasionally she will just turn to you and say something that'll floor you. And she means it entirely just to be funny. And that's something I've included in Penumbra.
Now, one of the things I noticed is that she's got a costume, but she also, you talked about that she could manipulate shadows. She can manipulate her costume. She can create a costume from the shadows.
Yep. So that at any given time, she can just blend in with the crowd.
Now, can she do that for regular clothes, or basically is her costume?
Yep. In the comic that I sent you, on page 3, you can see that she's in this full-body, skin-tight outfit, but also with this big, heavy trench coat. But then as you turn from page 3 to page 4, suddenly she's in a tank top and bike shorts. But at the end of page 4, you can see the shadows gathering up around her to become a new outfit.
Okay. Now, I do have to say, I did like the humor in this. There was a there's a funny bit as when she's fighting Clandestine, who's another woman. She's the blonde-haired woman. And the two of them are fighting, and there's two males watching what's going on, and they're debating whether they should get involved in with the fight that's happening. And I got a huge kick out of their dialogue because, you know, it's, you know, here's this fight going on, and the two of them, rather than, you know, making a decision, are kind of debating the pros and cons of getting involved. And I got a huge kick out of that. I thought that was a very funny bit in that story.
Yes, it was one of those things. It's always irritated me about superhero comics is at some point some thug tries to throw a punch, and something I've actually said to people is, exactly what would getting involved do for them? I mean, who the heck thinks they can punch Superman, you know? And I gave the agent that typically helps her that particular line of, what would us getting involved do for us exactly?
That was a funny bit because, you know, you don't ever read that in comics. You're right, and I thought that was a great thing to have that discussion. And, of course, she wants a diversion, and in comes this guy named Cornwall, and he's the perfect diversion for what she needs. But, you know, I still have one more question regarding her. You made her Filipino, if I remember correctly. Why Filipino? Because, you know that's as much as I like that, and I was happy to see that, I'm always interested as to why people make these kinds of choices, you know, because it's usually white, black, Hispanic, and those are the ones that we tend to see the most. Why did you choose that nationality or racial makeup?
A couple different reasons. One, Filipinos are underrepresented. A lot of time, if you see Asian, you see Chinese, Japanese, and occasionally Korean. And that is it, as if that was the only Asiatic races that existed. And there are so many more races. And then, just me being very cheap on it, I wanted her to occasionally throw out lines that would be in her native language. I mentioned Ed Jowett earlier. He's the owner of the company. He was my co-writer on this. His wife is from the Philippines. So I could always just shoot her a message on Facebook. Hey, Mac, how would I say blah, blah, blah? And she'd give me the line. And I think it's page 4 of the comic last panel. She actually says, "You idiots," in her native language as she's walking away.
Pretty cool. So yeah, how do people, if they want to get that issue, how do they do that now?
That is, it's going to be up on the store by the time the podcast goes out. And like I said, if they're more of a Comixology group of people, sometime in the next month, depending on Comixology's review period, it'll be up on Comixology. Cool. If you go to shadesofvengeance.com/comics, that has all of our comics, and by that point, at whatever place they're available, they will be up for sale.
Okay. Now, we've got to get to the second issue, which you just got funded, and it's titled, according to Kickstarter, Penumbra Fear the Bunny Lord. And the subtitle is, Everyone's Favorite Mistress of Shadows is Back, but Can She Defeat the Bunny Lord? Do you want to talk a little bit about what's going on in the second issue?
Yes. This came out of talking to one of the Scotsmen that's on our team. And he made kind of a one-off joke of, oh, she can disappear in shadows. I bet the only thing she's afraid of is rabbits. And I kind of looked at him. I go, why would she be afraid of rabbits? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, because they have great night vision. They eat all those carrots.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea was just so stupid. I was like, oh, okay, I got to write this story. and he's not the Bunny Lord. He calls himself Wild Hare. Because I love puns. You know, everybody should catch a wild hare every now and again and go on an adventure. She refuses to call him that. So she, and I want to say it's a throwaway comic comment in one of the other comics, is somebody grabs her and says, you should be afraid of me. And she replies with, why are you part rabbit? So she refers to him either as Flopsy or Bunny Lord, depending on how much respect she's given him in that moment.
Now, what's the story going on? Because I want to know, how does she get to go against him?
She gets hired for an extraordinary large amount of money to go rob from a science place that is studying a thing that can make the empowered, which is what we call the superpowered people in that universe, just holding it makes you more powerful. If you go to the Kickstarter, I believe it's the second image down. Yeah, the one beneath where it says the comic. You can actually see the device on panel.
Cool.
And so she doesn't know if she's going to steal it for herself and just make herself more powerful, or turn it in and try and get money. And that's one of the questions that comes up in the comic.
So where does the Bunny Lord come into this?
He's been hired to guard it because the scientists that are studying it have realized that with all the security measures they have, there's only one person that could break into the place, and that's the Mistress of Shadows herself, Penumbra. So they hire somebody that could they think could actually keep up with her.
Is it because of the night vision and all that stuff?
Yep.
So your friend, boy, you didn't realize how much of the story he was writing when he asked you that question. He told you that.
a lot of my comics come from somebody else's bad idea.
So how many pages are in this book?
I want to say this is another 12-pager. Let me double-check while we're talking. So, the pages are actually all done. They're actually just waiting for me to letter them at this point.
Oh, wow. Color? Everything all done?
Yep, everything's all done. I just got to slap the letters on it because the script's long since been written. And, yeah, it's a 10-pager with a cover.
Oh, cool. Now, this is also going to eventually be available at the Shades of Vengeance website as well?
Yep.
Okay, so this is where Penumbra is going to be. Are you going to eventually kind of collect all these things together?
Yes, they will be both available separately as a trade paperback, all the different stories that are going to be set in this universe. And it's also going to be included in the Empowered book itself, in addition to all the different short stories that go into the tabletop role-playing game. We're going to have at least a few of the issues of the comics included, because how could you have a superhero role-playing game and not actually have comics in it?
That's cool. So the game, I guess we have to talk about where that is in relation to this. Is the game complete as well?
The game is complete. It's, like I said, right now we're just finishing up some of the short stories. They're actually waiting on me because I stopped writing the short stories so I can make sure that the comics were made. And I actually got an angry email this morning from one of the other writers of, hey, I'm waiting on my story until you write the origin story and, you know, 50 pages before. And I go, oh, okay.
Okay, so that's going to be good. Now, I do want to talk about the guy who's the artist, who I think does a great job. It's almost got a little bit of an anime feel to it. And then, of course, the Bunny Lord is a guy who actually has, apparently he's got two bunny ears from the top of his head. So this artist, I mean, how did you work with the artist? Did the artist come up with the, you were talking about the colors and the choice, how they were great. But talk about the designs of the characters and how you worked with the artist to create all these.
Sebastian Sala, and I'm sure I'm pronouncing that terribly. I picked him up through, I want to say, DeviantArt. Let me see. I'm going to roll my mouse over. Yep. If you go to SebastianSala.DeviantArt, you can find him.
Okay.
And he has such an amazing wide range of artistic styles that he pitched to me like five different styles and said, John, whichever one you want is the style I'll do the comic in. Mm-hmm. And he had one style that was kind of similar to how Bruce Timm, like the original Batman, the animated series, not the Justice League and stuff that came after it, but that first one or two seasons of Batman. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this, give me this. Mm-hmm. And because I really loved kind of the spastic look to it. Mm-hmm. And our colorist, I'm going to butcher his name, Slamet Mohiano.
Okay. It's better than I can do.
Yeah, he did some really neat stuff with the expressions and the lighting that it almost looks like a smudge painting, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Cool, because it really has a great feel to it. Very vibrant, very it pops off the page like you were saying earlier. It really makes it very colorful and very good, and it makes it interesting visually as well as the story.
Yep. It's actually really interesting trying to write her, because she appears in almost everybody else's comics at some point. Mm-hmm. One that we've already released is Lacuna, and she is the hero that inspires him to be a better hero, because he just gets so completely outclassed by her in his own origin storybook. And because his comic is a very much a Detroit style, very gritty, very violent comic, I didn't think that the art did her justice. Not that it was supposed to, it's his comic. Mm-hmm. So anytime I'm doing one of her comics, I make sure I have an artist that just makes her pop off the page.
Great. Now, I got to ask about one more character, because I find it funny. Under one of the pictures, you got a picture of a backup character. And it says, Dave always looking out for Penumbra, even if his paycheck comes from the bad guys. And Dave is kind of this blonde, he looks like he'd be the lead character if this was a standard comic. So where does Dave come from? What's his story?
Remember those two thugs that were discussing whether or not they should get involved in the fight?
He's one of them?
Yeah, he's the guy on the right that keeps saying, no, I've seen her fight, we're not getting into this. He's actually a brunette on that page, because he has to re-dye his hair every time he gets fired from a job, because Penumbra ends up beating the security. Of course, you don't want to keep working for a supervillain when your security and security has just been destroyed. Mm-hmm. So he'll go home and dye his hair and show up at the next job.
Because mm-hmm. I like this character.
Yeah, I love him too. He actually shows up in nearly every one of every one of the two comics that are out so far. Mm-hmm. He just has the terrible luck of he's always working there when she shows up. And she has gotten to know him so well just by the fact that they constantly butt heads, and he's the only smart thug that, no, I'm not getting in a fight with a superhero. So, like, she knows his family, and she buys his kids birthday presents and never forgets their birthdays. And this second issue is actually going to have a bit of banter between them, where she's like, Ed, you need to remember your wife's anniversary, because it's coming up in a week. And he's, oh, God, I forgot about that. Oh, thanks, honey.
So they have a very, almost a very congenial relationship between the two of them.
Yeah, he does a lot of cleanup for her of, okay, well, in that first comic, Clandestine gets knocked out, not to give any spoilers, but, mm-hmm. and he's the guy that has to walk over and pick Clandestine up and take her off to the medic or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Pretty cool. I like the character. I like that, the way it's going to go on with that. Will we see Clandestine again someday?
Yes. I kind of wrote her as just a joke so I could have, I didn't want it to be guys wailing on girls. Because you get that very Schwarzenegger intro to, oh, what was his name, Cornwall or something?
Yeah.
Sorry, it's been like a year since I wrote that. and she immediately just goes, nope, and walks out of the room, and you never see him on panel again. And so I wanted her to have a battle at some point. So she is dark both in her skin tone. She wears this black coat, and her powers are shadow-based. And so I had Clandestine be the exact opposite. She has bright blue eyes, blonde hair, very pale skin, and is wearing kind of a golden yellow dress. Mm. And you can see on one of the panels that she actually uses light blasts as her power. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just kind of meant it as a counterpoint to her, so it wasn't two people with too similar a power set trying to fight. Mm-hmm. And instead, it became this arch nemesis thing that people are still writing to me about a year later. When is she going to show up in the next comic?
If you didn't know what a success you had on your hands when you did that.
Oh, I didn't. she's the only character besides Penumbra that's actually had fan art sent in for her.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yep.
That's cool. That's pretty smart. So that's good about that. Now, of course, we got to get to the future for Penumbra. When these things are going to start coming out in Comixology. Well, first thing, let's ask, do you plan on making any paper prints of these comics?
Oh, yeah, they're actually all available in physical.
Oh, they are? Okay, I didn't realize that.
If you go to shadesofvengeance.com/store, mm-hmm. you'll see both. It looks like the comics show up twice, but it's because one is digital and one's a physical version.
Gotcha. Okay, gotcha. That's good. It's good because some people are still paper copy, and you know I love my paper copies too, but I also like to, if I have trouble getting paper copies, to be able to download the digital is always a great thing for me. So, okay, so we've got this going on. The Kickstarter is a success and complete. What's the future for Penumbra at this point?
It really depends. If this comic has a really good response to it, I do have a third issue that's already written. If not, then I have several other comics that are already written that I'm going to go on to instead.
Okay. Of course, you just answered my next question was to be, what are you going to be doing in the future? But apparently it sounds like you've got some comics already ready to get started on.
Oh, always. I have one coming up that it's about a girl that can see about 10 seconds into the future, but only when someone's about to die. And it's like one of those most useless powers ever, because people are constantly almost killing themselves and don't even realize it. And so to everyone around her, it looks like she's just so nervous because she's constantly grabbing your arm and don't reach for that. Don't touch that. So I had a lot of fun with that story. It's a lot more based around coming to term with accepting your own powers and understanding when it's good to use them and when it's not.
Good. Now, what about like the video games and stuff like that? Do you edit that as well? Edit, put the stories, you know, make the stories cohesive as far as the video games too as well?
I do a lot of writing around that, and a lot of times I will stop and read through all the different other writers we have and say, okay, we need to adjust this story because it is a completely comical take on this character when the other three stories we have about this character are super serious, or vice versa. And I can send like the other writers emails of, okay, you didn't read anything that the rest of us have written. but the games themselves, the editor rights go to Ed, because he's the only he's the keeper of the keys on the main stories these days. I try and stick to just the comics. I still write for every other thing that we do, but I keep my nose out of the editing stuff for the most part.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about what you'd like to do in the future, because obviously you're doing well with the comic thing and Kickstarter thing, too. What kind of things would you like to do as far as comics go in the future?
Actually, I'd like to do a few more science fiction comics. I'm really loving the superheroes. Penumbra, of course, is really fun to write for. Right now, what I'm working on is a story pitch that I'm going to be pitching to Ed pretty soon. Or maybe I'll let him listen to the podcast and he'll hear the pitch. about these, there's these things called disarms, which are a kind of a mecha suit that the characters get into in his original Heir of the Consortium game. And I wanted to write a story based around a thing that my dad used to say is you need three people to keep a fence safe. One person will hop the fence. Two people, one person can convince the second person to hop with him. Three people, the third person can say no, and then all three will stay. And so I wanted to write a story around what happens when that third, when the first person that wants to leave says, no, I'm leaving, gets in his giant mecha and starts going. And have the story be about, told from both perspectives, both of the person that's leaving and the person that it's now their job to make them stay. Mm-hmm. And the catalyst event is that third person dies. The story doesn't start moving until that third person dies. And how you kind of blame yourself, but you also blame the other person for what happens. Mm. And that they are both suffering from that as they are both running and being chased by the other, respectively. Cool. Through that.
Very cool. It sounds like a great story. Well, you come up with a lot of interesting stories. I think they're great fun to read, and I'm so happy that you're successful with the Kickstarter. I was a little worried there for a while. I was, I kept following it and trying to see, and I kept, then all of a sudden things started to move, and I was like, all right, it's moving. And then you got to that, and so I'm real happy with that. And of course, by the time this post, this will be completed, but it's so great that when you get done a little ahead of time, you can breathe a little easier now.
Oh, yes. It actually happened the morning that you and I are recording this. My girlfriend woke me up early in the morning. She was, John, it's fully funded. I don't even have my first three cups of coffee in me yet. And I go, what's funded? Oh, I was so happy. Oh, that was such a load off my mind.
Yep, that's a great thing. It's such a cool thing. Well, if people want to keep track of what you're up to, are you on Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that?
I do a lot of the posts to the Shades of Vengeance Facebook account, which okay. you can find through the website.
Okay.
And on Twitter, I always have to spell this out because I say it funny with my accent. SYNAID 1066, Synaid 1066.
Okay.
On Twitter.
Okay, so that's where we get you. And, of course, as you said, you've got Shades of Vengeance website, so we can go there and get more information and things like that. So, man, you're doing a great job. I really enjoyed it. I got a chance to read the books and really enjoyed it. I can't wait to see the second story. Now you got me really interested in the third one. So, man, Jonathan, keep it up. You're doing great stuff.
Oh, thanks, man. Thanks for having me. I can't tell you how awesome it is after years of listening to you. I got introduced to you through Major Spoilers. Mm-hmm. To actually get to be on your podcast is so amazing.
Well, I'm glad, too, because it was a great chance to talk with you and to read your stuff. So, man, I can't wait for other people to get a chance to read them, too.
Thank you, Wade.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored. I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News. Interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
And that's it for this episode. Be back next time. I'll have another great interview with an excellent comics creator, something I'm sure you won't want to miss. But until then, keep reading your comics.